Now, I want you to think for a moment. When someone does something to you or I that we don't like, how do we respond? Do we give them an earful? Do we shout at them? Do we complain that they haven't done things the right way? But what about when we've done something that someone doesn't like? How do we respond? Do we get all defensive? Do we start shouting back at them? Or we won't listen to them because of what they're trying to tell us? I wonder if our own country is not a bit like this at the moment, with the attitudes that are being displayed by various groups of people. There's some groups of people who don't like other groups of people. And one group wants revenge on another group. And because they're not getting their way, they try to burn things that symbolize the past of the other group of people. But if one of those groups of people that the other group of people don't like make a stand and condemn the unruly behavior, well, that is just not on. Can you see how we all get caught up in that sort of understanding? And in fact, Jonah is no different from any one of us. Jonah chapter 4 is often sermons preached on it on the forgotten chapter. Because it is a passage of scripture that is not taught in Sunday school. It's a passage of scripture once we've read of Jonah in the whale or Jonah in the big fish and how he escaped and eventually went and told the people of Nineveh. We forget about Jonah chapter 4. But Jonah has finally done what God had wanted him to do in the first place. He's taken the message of God's judgment to the people of Nineveh. And the people of Nineveh, perhaps Jonah expecting this, have repented of their evil ways and asked God to forgive them. Have a look at chapter 3, verse 9, which we looked at last week. Who knows, the people of Nineveh said, God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger and so that we will not perish. But for Jonah, their repentance and the fact that God didn't send the punishment he had promised was just too much for him to stomach. My first comment this morning is Jonah's fury. Verse 1. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. In fact, the Hebrew tells us that this word greatly displeased and angry is not just cross. It is absolutely fuming. The type of red-faced, shouting, screaming people with blood vessels almost threatening to burst kind of anger. That is what the Hebrew says Jonah felt like. He was furious. He was fuming. And why? Well, because God's enemies, Nineveh, had been spared because they turned to God. He was so angry that he was driven into a rage-filled frenzy. And he says in chapter 4 and verse 3, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. I'm sure some of us have been in situations like that where we are just so cross that we wish our life would just end. And this is Jonah. In fact, this isn't the first time that Jonah has nearly lost his life. Of course, we know that Jonah nearly lost his life when he was thrown overboard. In fact, he told the people to throw him overboard. And it's almost as if Jonah is at the point is, I know what God's going to do for the people of Nineveh, so I don't even want to go there. And he tried to have his life taken from him by throwing overboard, but God sent a great fish to rescue him. And now he's asking and pleading with God, take my life, because I do not like what is going on here. One wonders if Jonah preferred to die rather than to accept that God could help all people. One wonders if Jonah would rather die than share the message of God's salvation with the world. Jonah could not tolerate the fact that God was no longer going to punish the wicked people of Nineveh. But friends, before we cast Jonah aside and say, gee, what was he thinking? He's going against God. I think we need to take a long, hard look at our own lives. How often do we not pray for the demise of our enemies and expect God to deal with them in the appropriate way? How often do we judge other people for their wicked behavior, even going so far as to say that they could never be a Christian, and then cannot understand why God doesn't deal with them or remove them from our lives? I knew a chap once who his only issue was that God must bring Mugabe down, and Mugabe must face the crimes that he has committed and be punished for it. He said to me that he was praying for Mugabe's downfall. And I said to him, wouldn't it be better if you prayed for his salvation? And of course the answer was, no, God can't save a man like that. And friends, I'm sure we all do that. I always use the example, if Hitler repented before his suicide and is now in heaven, how would we react? Perhaps in a smaller way, someone has done something to you personally that's perhaps hurt you, perhaps made you financially hard up, or whatever it is, and you want justice brought to that person. Would it be too much for us to bear if that criminal or that person that has hurt us became a Christian and followed the Lord? I remember watching a movie in which an elderly lady was attacked and robbed of her handbag. She was beaten. Someone saw the event taking place and gave chase and caught the robber, and he was arrested and brought to prison. And when the lady who was attacked and beaten and had recovered partly from her injuries was brought before this guy and asked, is this the guy that did these things to you? She said, yes, but I'm not going to press charges against him. I want him to come and meet with me for an hour every week, and we will read the Bible together. The judge was happy with this idea and said, all right, we will let you off the sentence as long as you're there. But if you miss 1 week, you will be in prison. And this guy became a Christian. Would you and I be willing to behave like that if someone had beaten us up and done something like that for us? So don't just write Jonah off and say he was different. We are exactly the same, friends. But part of the reason that Jonah is furious is because he knows who God is. And this is my second comment. The gracious, loving, merciful God. Look at verses 2 and 3. Jonah prayed to the Lord and he said, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Jonah's done all the right Sunday school lessons. He's been taught about who God is, and he had learned that God is a gracious God who helps those in need. He's learned that God is compassionate and takes pity on the sick and the weak. He knew that God was very patient with people, and that God was filled with love and didn't want to send anybody to hell. Yet despite his head knowledge, Jonah felt that because of the wickedness of the people of Nineveh, that they should face the same fate as Sodom and Gomorrah. Jonah's worldview was that the wicked should perish. R. Nixon says in her commentary, "In theory, we say God can forgive. But in practice, we sometimes discover that the reality of that forgiveness is too hard to handle." And this is Jonah, friends. And I'm afraid to say this is often how we behave as well. You see, we're often so caught up in our own lives, in our own comfort, in our own pleasures, that although we know who God is, we cannot accept how he works if that means that those that we hate are forgiven and as they turn to him. Can you see why Jonah is angry? In fact, Jonah's anger is directed at the very being of who God is, at God's goodness, at the way that God treats those who do not love him. And so Jonah, in his fury and his rage, now leaves the city and goes to wait and see what God will do with this city. My third comment, and this is where we get a real life example from God. Verse 5. Jonah went out and sat down at the place east of the city. There he made a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Now this shelter, remember that Nineveh is in very much an arid region, and there would have been very little, if any, sticks or logs or branches that Jonah could have used to make a shelter. So more than likely, Jonah's shelter was perhaps a half dug out hole in the sand with a few stones that would have provided a small amount of shade. It was a very crude structure. And although he might have had a bit of shade in which to partially sit in, it would have been no cooler in the shade than it was in the sun. You know what it's like when you sit in on a concrete stoop and the sun is beating off that stoop. It's actually very hot. And I think that's probably what it was like for Jonah as he sat under his makeshift shelter. And so you can just picture the scene here. Here is Jonah crouched under this temporary makeshift shelter that gives a bit of shade, but he's dying of heat. He's angry, not only because God has not judged the Ninevites, but now because he's getting hot, and not just hot under the collar, but physically hot, like I think many of us have experienced this week. And here we find God, being true to himself, showing compassion and love and care for Jonah. See, the God that Jonah knows, this loving God who is slow to anger, now controls again the forces of nature to ensure that Jonah has some decent shade. Look at verse 6. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And notice here how Jonah responds to the vine. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. See, as God graciously provides the shelter for Jonah, Jonah is filled with joy. And again, before we write Jonah off as being superficial or not real, do we not do exactly the same? We are happy to serve the Lord if it is within the confines of our own comfort zone. We are happy if the Lord gives us what we want. We are joyful because God gives us the comforts of life. But this joy and excitement of Jonah is short-lived because we read in verse 7. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God provided a scorching wind and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." Jonah again wants his life to end. Jonah is again angry with God, but this time he's not angry with God over Nineveh. No, he's angry with God because of the vine that died. It seems that Jonah is only happy with God when things go his way. One Jewish rabbi said that Jonah's joy in the plant is like the joy we all face in the possessions of the world, but they do not last. But Scripture shows us the limitations of these worldly things, and what does God do? He prepares a worm. Why is it, friends, that we are only happy when we have enough money, or when we have enough to eat, or when everything in our life is going well? It's a little bit like getting angry over something that we have no control over, like Jonah and this vine. And Jonah blames God for that. You see, Jonah, I think, is a bit confused. He's unhappy when God shows the Ninevites grace, but he's unhappy when God removes grace from his own life. And this, I think, is what the focus of the whole story of Jonah is about. It's about understanding how God works and what true forgiveness is really all about. And how we are happy when it is shown to us, but on how we get upset when it is shown to others. My last comment this morning, and that is, the gracious God. God uses the vine here to illustrate to Jonah why he showed compassion to the Ninevites. Verse 10 and 11. But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend to it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about such a great city?" As Jonah is angry over the dead plant, he really condemns himself with his own words. He's happy for God to show grace to him, that is, for God to be kind and compassionate and loving and slow to anger with him. But he does not like it when God shows grace or is compassionate and slow to anger and loving towards his enemies. Jonah cannot tolerate life without God, but is happy to watch others live their lives without God. He is prepared to die for his comfort, but willing to let the Ninevites perish for not having any. R. Nixon says again, "Without God's gracious mercy and compassion, the very qualities Jonah so despised in God, Jonah himself was no different from the Ninevites in his need of repentance." So friends, before we condemn Jonah as being silly, before we write him off and think that he's just not understanding things, before we write off our enemies to God's wrath, I think it's extremely important that we look at what God has done for each one of us and what our life would be like if we had not experienced God's grace firsthand. We're happy for God to forgive us of whatever sin we have committed, no matter how big or small. But we are not happy if God shows that same compassion to someone who has offended us. We are happy when God blesses us in various ways, but we are angry when God shows that same blessing to others. Just think back on the story of Jonah for a moment. What did Jonah do to be rescued by God after he'd been thrown into the sea? He'd run from God. He hadn't prayed to God. In fact, he had done nothing to deserve God sending that big fish to rescue him. What had Jonah done to deserve the God planting the vine for him, providing the shelter from him? Well, nothing. Jonah was furious with God. But God provided the vine. You see, in fact, Jonah should have got what he deserved. Drowning for running from God, or heat stroke from being angry with God. In both cases, God rescued Jonah despite the fact that Jonah had disobeyed him. And by the same vein, what have you and I done to deserve Jesus dying on the cross for us? What have you and I done to deserve God looking favorably upon us? And again, friends, the answer is nothing. We weren't good, and then God decided to die for us. We hadn't followed the Ten Commandments perfectly, and so God said, well, okay, cool, because you've done that, I'll do this for you. The Bible tells us that while we were still sinners, in other words, while we were still enemies of God, Christ died for us. You see, friends, we all deserve the same judgment that the Ninevites, or that Jonah was expecting the Ninevites to get. We all deserve to die because of our sin. Yet despite that, God has rescued every one of us through his death on the cross. And because of that, because we have now turned to him and we trust him in what he has done for us, we are welcomed into his presence. So friends, how dare you or I say that God mustn't show grace and mercy to even the most wicked of people? How dare you and I think that God should only show us grace and not others? How dare we decide who should or shouldn't be told about God's salvation and God's judgment? Just like we care for those that we love, so does God. And because God created the whole world and everything in it, he cares for all. Friends, are we obeying God like Jonah? Doing what God wants, but grumbling and moaning at every turn because he's showing compassion to those who are not like us? Are we perhaps not even sharing the gospel because, well, they're not good enough? Look what they've done. God won't accept them. Imagine for a moment if we were not good enough for God. Imagine for a moment if someone thought that you or I should not hear the gospel of Jesus. I'm going to finish off the entire series by reading the last verse in the book of Jonah. In fact, by asking the exact same question that God leaves with Jonah as we consider our own town, our own neighborhood. And as we consider all that who are heading for God's wrath, should I not be concerned about this great city. Well, let's pray. Lord, we do just come before you this morning and thank you again for your word. Lord, although this passage has made us wiggle in our seats and made us feel uncomfortable, we thank you nonetheless, Lord, that you died in our place, even when we did not deserve it. But Lord, help us never to forget that, and never to think that you can't show compassion and love and care to others as well. Lord, help us to take your word out, whether these people deserve it or not, Lord. And help us to share what you have done for us with others. In your name, Amen.